Be seated. Glad you're with us this morning. You feel the presence of God in this place? Amen. Amen. I do, and I pray you do as well. If you're visiting with us this morning, we are especially happy that you're here. Hope you feel welcomed. You know, that's one of the things that I hope that we do as a church is welcome new people well. And let you know that you're welcome to be part of our family, the Wiley Methodist family. Glad that you're here. There is a blue card in the seat pocket in front of you. Invite you to fill that out if you don't mind letting us know you were here. You can leave it there in the seat when you're done. There's a place where you can put your email address. And you may have been here for weeks, months, and never got on our email list, and that's okay too. You can fill that out and check the little box, I'd like to be on the email list. And leave that there in the seat. We're glad that you are here with us this morning. Jared, where's Jared? Come on up. Jared has something he wants to tell us this morning.
Oh, there we go. All right. So I have good news or bad news. I don't know how you want to take that. But Rachel and I are retiring as youth ministers, and we are headed to Weatherford, Texas, to do some other things in the real estate world. Anyways, I told Jeff several years ago that he shouldn't be wearing denim shirts with denim jeans, and it really has stuck with him, and so he's asked me to leave. Just kidding. He used to wear denim shirts with denim jeans, and one day he came into the office. I was like, bro, you gotta...
Hey, this isn't about...
You gotta let it go, man. You gotta let it go. Anyways, Rachel and I will be here one more month-ish, and then we'll be leaving. So anyways, Jeff wanted me to let y'all know.
14 years that boy has been with me. I told him he like one of my kids. Some kids, you know, come up, they grow up right and some don't. I don't know. You got a 50-50 shot sometimes. Before Jared and Rachel Lee, we'll have a chance to say goodbye to them, but I wanted to go ahead and get that word out to everyone, and we're looking for Jared's replacement, and we'll be doing that. And we'll keep you posted on that. So thanks for letting us know, Jared. If you turn with me to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. We wrap up Psalm 23 today. Now, it's going to be on the screen, I believe. And I'm going to ask you to, because we've been trying to memorize this. Most of us know Psalm 23 pretty well, but it should be something, one of the scriptures that just comes right off of our lips whenever we need it. So if you'll read that with me, beginning in verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, we have invited you and we trust you are here. We ask that you would speak this morning in power and authority. In Jesus' name, amen. So we conclude the sermon series, Life Lessons for Sheep, today. Today we'll take a closer look at verse 6. And in verse 6... I've entitled this week, Hope. Verse 6 is kind of a summary. It kind of brings, it puts the bow on top of the rest of the psalm, and we'll talk more about that in just a moment. But I remembered, y'all remember my sheep, remember that I got a few years ago? I remembered what we ended up naming this 5 years ago. You've probably forgotten, but Billy and I, we felt like it needed to be a biblical name, so we came up with Barabbas. You remember that, Billy? I think it was, since it wasn't very funny, it was Billy's idea. So, had you laughed hysterically, it would have been my idea. And I can't leave this series without just one more little taste of the, anybody been singing the Ba We're Lamb song? My wife started singing it last night, so I'm just telling you. Cheryl, why don't you come up here and get, no, I'm just one. Give us one more taste of that real quick there, Alan. Hey, that's enough. That's enough. Just a taste. Always leave them wanting more, as I say. Or maybe not wanting any of it. Yeah, I know some of y'all been singing that. I know you have. But this psalm that we are wrapping up today, this psalm is, are you cracking up? We're cracking up the college kids here in front. This psalm is, as I've been saying for the last 5 weeks, is David. He is writing from the perspective of a sheep. Then he starts it off, the Lord is my shepherd. So who has shepherds? Sheep. So, and I've pointed out that that is not a great compliment for throughout the Bible. God's people were referred to as sheep, and it's really not all that great of a compliment. I'm going to recap kind of what we've been looking at up to this point. In verse 1, we talk about, this psalm talks about who the good shepherd is. The Lord is my shepherd. So David is, right from the very get-go, he's saying, I'm a sheep, the Lord is my shepherd. And we've talked these last several weeks about what does that mean. So what does the good shepherd do for us, according to this Psalm 23? I think I've got some of this recap in your outline. You can follow me along there. Verse 1 and 2, he provides for all of our needs. In verse 3, he restores our soul. Anybody ever need some soul restoring? Just like feeling empty? He restores our soul. And also in verse 3, he empowers us to holy living for his glory. When it says for his name's sake, what it's saying is that it's to his glory, that he leads us in paths of righteousness for his glory, so that we might glorify him. Verse 4, he provides strength to face whatever comes our way, whatever trials come our way. Verse 4 also, he provides comfort. In verse 5, he provides power and protection. And then today, as we begin to look at verse 6, the results of all of that, the results that because the Lord is our shepherd, and because of all of these things he provides for us, we, his sheep, have hope. Yes? And Scripture tells us, I believe it's in 1 Thessalonians, it says that we have hope as believers, not like the rest of the world's hope, not this, and I put this in the email this week, that not this whimsical, fanciful hope, like I hope I win $1 million, or I hope I get to go to the Super Bowl this year, or I hope, you know, all these things that we can, you know, the world's version of hope, but no, hope that is grounded in faith for our good shepherd. That is what brings this psalm together. So I want to look at three different things, specifically what verse 6 tells us. Because the Lord is our shepherd, we, his sheep, are blessed. And we're not just blessed just for our own sake. We are blessed to be a blessing. Do we understand that? So many times as Christians, we think that it's all about what we can receive. Yes? Is there anybody besides me that ever is in that frame of mind? It's like we, and I'm, please don't, I'm glad that you're here this morning, and I'm glad that you have found Wiley Methodist a place you want to come. But we, even when we're looking at churches, we're thinking about what can that church, what can those people do for me? That's not really the Christian life. The Christian life is, what can I do through that body of believers? What, how can if I come and take root in this family of believers, how can I be effective with the gifts God has given me? We are blessed, church, to be a blessing. Do we understand? Shake your head if you're understanding what I'm saying. It's not, we are blessed to receive. Certainly we receive a blessing, but there should be fruit with that. Too many times, though, another thing that we can do with that is we can turn that to think that the fruit is how we somehow gain God's approval. Like if I'm good, if I do all these really great things and serve God and do all these things, then somehow that makes me, I'm going to, you know, earn my ticket to heaven. I'm going to be good. God's going to be pleased with me and so forth. But no, the service that we do is the fruit that demonstrates that we have Christ in our life. We are blessed to be a blessing. Now, verse 6, he says, surely, now it doesn't say maybe, surely goodness and mercy will follow me. One, I've talked about this book, Philip Keller, that wrote this book called A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23, and it's really an interesting, it's a small, it's an easy read. If you want to read that, you can probably find that online. But he talks about, he was a shepherd, a modern-day shepherd. One of the things he talks about is as he's as the seasons are changing, he's had the sheep down in the valley, and he's taken them up. We've talked about these last several weeks. He's taken them up to the higher ground. And one of the things that sheep leave behind, anybody got any guess? I've already demonstrated that I will say the word poop from the pulpit, so I'm going to go ahead and use that word. Sheep poop. Has anybody know that? They do. And it's amazing how, as if you think about it, as the sheep move up the mountain, as they're leaving their little gifts along the way, and then later rains come and so forth, and it washes. Did you know that sheep poop is there? I mean, I'm, some of you are like, I can't believe the preacher's saying that word. But anyway, it's just what I do. So that it is some of the richest, in fact, it is the richest in nutrients that from sheep of any fertilizer, any animal. And I don't have my vet here today to verify. He's corrected me a couple of times, but it is, are you here, Lynn? What, are you hiding? Are you sleeping back there? What? Is that true, sheep poop? Yeah, that's what they tell me. Why do I ask that man anything? You know, here's the deal. Here, you have to couch everything from this perspective that Lynn, he is a vet, and I think he's got something on the wall that says that, but he got his education at A&M, so what do you know? Hello. Bada bing, I need a Chance, where you at? I need some drums, man. What do they do? Did y'all hear that over here? Yeah, right now I get an amen. Yeah. Goodness gracious. I have lost control. I have no idea where we are. Okay. So anyway, it's pretty good stuff, okay, this stuff. It may not be the best, according to my vet, but anyway. And as the rains come and it washes it down and it is flourishing, it is blessing, if you will, the land below. So as a sheep that is well cared for blessings result. Okay, I'm going to try to continue. I had no idea. But second point here, let's move on. Because the Lord is our shepherd. And every one of these points, I want you to understand how I'm introducing the point. Because the Lord is our shepherd, then there's a result to that. Secondly, we are always in his presence and under his care. We're always in his presence and under his care. You know, the passage in 6 says, verse 6 says, all the days of my life that we will be, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And that word house can also be translated to presence, that they will dwell in his presence forever. Do you know when forever starts, when eternal life starts? It's not when you die. Right now. That's when eternal life starts. As soon as we come into relationship with Christ, eternal life starts then. And so we're dwelling in his presence right now. The good shepherd. All the days of my life I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So unmanaged sheep can be some of the most destructive. I'm not even going to ask Lynn about this one. They can be some of the most destructive animals to their environment. They, as I said a few weeks ago, they don't just eat the pasture down to the, you know, down to the ground and stop. No, they pull out the root, and if you don't keep them moving, they will actually destroy the pasture. On the other hand, managed well, cared for sheep can be one of the most beneficial animals on the planet. They consume undesirable plants and poisonous plants and weeds. Their manure is life-giving to the soil around it. There's this instinct for sheep to seek higher ground, and even that is beneficial for the environment. We're always in the presence and under his care of the good shepherd. Because the Lord is our shepherd, we have hope no matter the circumstances. Now, I referred it to it just a little while ago, the 1 Thessalonians passage. And I share that passage a lot of times at funerals, because here's what it says basically is that we grieve as Christians, as his sheep, we grieve. It's not like grief passes us over, like we don't get sad when things, just like this morning when we were saying goodbye to the Westbrooks. I mean, we grieve. But what the Thessalonians passage goes on to say is that we don't grieve as believers as those who have no hope. We have hope, and guess what? He has a name. His name is Jesus. We have hope no matter the circumstances. I love this passages where more passages where God is referring to us as sheep, and Jesus tells a parable where he has 100 sheep and one of them goes missing. And it's not like he doesn't care about the 99, but the one sheep who has strayed, he understands that sheep is at risk. I've said this before, but when we are coming to church, when we are serving, when we're in regular fellowship with one another, we are safer together, church. This world is hard, but when we have one another and we come together to worship together, we are safer and we are stronger together. Now, so it's not as if Jesus is saying the 99 sheep don't matter. What he's saying is this one who has strayed, who is vulnerable, who is susceptible to the enemy, I have a heart for that sheep. Anybody been that sheep before? You just felt all alone? Jesus has a heart for you. If that's you this morning, Jesus has a heart for you. Jesus goes on to say that he would leave the 99 in the open country and he would go after the lost sheep. And when he would find it, he said, he would throw it on his shoulders and he would come back to the sheep, to the flock, rejoicing that what was lost has been found. Jesus has a heart for the lost, for the vulnerable. Listen to this Isaiah passage out of the Old Testament. The sovereign Lord tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. Don't you love that? Just that imagery of this good shepherd, Jesus, that just embraces us and pulls us in, especially when we are most vulnerable. Keller tells another story in his book. He talked about how, and I think I mentioned part of this a few weeks ago, he took great pride in caring for his sheep. He wanted to have the most lush fields in the whole region. And he also, he took great care if they were, made sure they were vaccinated. He made sure they were well fed and that they were well watered. And if they had any sort of illness, he would take care of those. He probably had a vet that didn't go to A&M and took good care of them. But he had a heart for his sheep. And he talked about how this neighbor shepherd, his fields were scraggly. His sheep were, he wouldn't cut them back when he was supposed to, so they'd get a lot of extra wool on, and then it gets dirty and caked, and they get sick and all kinds of things. And he talked about how these three sheep from the neighbor's field stood at his fence, looking over the fence into his field, watching his sheep who were well fed and healthy, and they just had this longing look in their eye. Do you think sheep can envy? I don't know if a sheep can envy or not, but they longingly looked over into that field. And he also talked about how that he was on a coastline. His land was on a coastline, and certain times of the year, the coast, the water would draw out, and it would expose more land. And his fence only went so far. And he talked about one time that these same three sheep who were longingly wanting to be in his field, the water went out, exposed where the fence stopped, and they made their way around the fence into his field. While Keller's sheep, they were used to living and existing in that field. These three sheep, they thought, this is good stuff. I better grab some of this while I can. So they gorged themselves on his field. And when he found them, they were bloated and laying on their side and near death. He loaded these sheep in a wheelbarrow. I can just picture it. He loaded these sheep in a wheelbarrow, and he rolled them over to his neighbor, knocked on the door, and had him come out and said, I'm sorry, your sheep got in my pasture. And here they are. You know what the neighbor did? He went to his barn, and he came out with what Keller called the killing knife, and ended the life of these three sheep. They were so far gone that they weren't living in the richness of that pasture. They were trying to gobble up what they could in a hurry, but they knew their shepherd would not provide for them, and it cost them their life. You know, with all of this talk of sheep, even though Jesus is our good shepherd, also the scripture refers to him as the Lamb of God. He became a lamb like one of us. He became a lamb. Isaiah 53, written hundreds of years before Jesus even walked the earth, says this. We all, speaking of us, like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him, speaking of Jesus, the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. The great and good shepherd became a sheep to pay the price that we owed. And in the presence of Christ, we are never without hope. outside of Christ's presence, we have no hope. Do we understand that, church? This world will make all sorts of promises to us, and it never comes through. If only you had more money, you'd have hope. If only you were more popular, you'd have more hope. If only you had a better looking spouse, you'd have more hope. If only you had a better job, you'd have a hope. That's what Cheryl says, the spouse one on me. If only I had more friends, if only more people liked me, I'd have hope. It's all sinking sand, church. All of it. Christ gives us hope. In His presence, we are never without hope. If you bow your heads with me as the praise team comes up, Father, we are so humbled and grateful for the hope You provide. We thank You that You are the Good Shepherd. And we shall not want because You're the Good Shepherd. There is nothing life can throw at us that You have not already overcome. That there's nothing that's bigger than You. No grief too deep. No wound is too severe. That You cannot overcome it. We thank You, Lord. We ask You now to come and to be our shepherd. We want to dwell in Your presence forever. Thank You for the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. It's in His precious name we pray. Amen. We stand as we close. Invite you, if Jesus Christ is not your hope, if He's not your Lord and Savior, what a great day to say yes to Him. He's already said yes to you. So I invite you can come and visit with me during this last song or after the worship service. I'll be up front. God bless. I wanted to tell you also, next week I'm starting a three-week series where it's called Journey to the Cross. We are going to be taking that trip to the cross and beyond. That'll lead us into Palm Sunday and Easter as well. So I invite you to bring friends as we start that service. Church, do you have hope?
Yeah.
What's his name?
Jesus.
Go and tell someone in Jesus' name. We are dismissed.
Are gone. I've been set free.